Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Culture Wars. Actually, it's this week's irate tireless minority, which is titled Culture Wars. And it's titled Culture Wars because that's what we are seeing right now as crystallized once again by a terrorist attack, which, of course, the media and the leftists wasted absolutely zero time politicizing. Oh, don't worry about sending your condolences to the families of those who were killed, or your good wishes, or calling for prayer for those who were injured and are still recovering. Oh no, let's not do that. Well, you know what? Let's do that. This show formally offers our condolences to the families of those who were killed and calls for prayer for those who are still recovering, because that's the right thing to do. On a lighter note, happy 241st birthday to the Army and happy Flag Day, June 14th for both of those. Flag Day commemorates the day that the flag was adopted to be the flag of the U.S. And that's what I've got for politics. So I'm just going to move right on because the whole show is really about politics and the politicization of culture and the culture wars. Religion, Islam or Christianity, which one should logically be blamed for the shooting in Orlando? How dumb are we as a nation that anybody needs to ask this? But apparently it has been asked and answered that Christianity's to blame. Let's see. A follower of Islam, a Muslim, declaring himself to be following the dictates of ISIS, declaring himself to be a Muslim and to be doing exactly what the doctrines of Islam say he should do, which is to kill homosexuals and to attack his enemies in so doing and to die in jihad so that he can go to paradise. That's exactly what Islam tells its followers to do. Right down to the letter. You don't believe me? Go read the Quran, the Surah, the Hadith. You don't have to. Just look at ISIS. Look at ISIS and what they're doing. If you look around, you can probably still find the video of that imam saying that homosexuals should be killed because it's good for them. It's compassionate for them. Really? Christianity does not say that. Homosexuality was not to be tolerated in the Old Testament. That's true. And there's good reasons for that. Not because God hates homosexuals, but because homosexuality is bad for you. It is bad for society. It is a selfish thing. It is disrespectful to parents and the community. And it's unhealthy. But that does not mean that we are under Christianity, under the New Testament now. We don't kill people. We say, inform them of the truth and let them work it out for themselves. That's what Christianity does. That is the viewpoint of Christianity. It is tolerance for others. You tell them the truth and you let them work it out for themselves to change their behavior, to go to God and ask Him to help them change their behavior. That's what Christianity preaches. If you know somebody claiming to be a Christian who says otherwise, tell them to read their Bible. Okay? Islam preaches that you should kill homosexuals, that you should kill people for honor, that you should kill kafirs who refuse to convert, that you should put the people of the book under the jizya until they proclaim themselves to be subdued. That's what Islam teaches. Islam teaches that if somebody's not a Muslim, then they are not a real, they are not to be treated with the dignity of being awarded human rights. That's what Islam teaches. They're not really people, sort of, unless they're Muslims, because everybody should be a Muslim. That's the overarching goal of Islam, to conquer the world for Allah. And yet, I have seen absolutely mind-boggling articles, which I have not linked to here because I'm not going to give them the web traffic for that nonsense. Mind-boggling articles saying that Christianity is at fault. But it's all because of Christianity. The Christianity outcry against transgenders being in bathrooms is what inspired this attack. To which I have to say, are you impaired in some way that is not visible? Clearly they are. Clearly those who don't understand or who don't make the time to do the research to say this is what Islam is are impaired. They're impaired by lack of knowledge, by lack of common sense, and by lack of logic skills. You want to know who's to blame for the horrific shooting in Orlando? The guy who did it. That's ultimately who's to blame. Because as an individual, as I've been preaching for the last couple shows, you make your own decisions. You see the world. You examine the doctrines available to you. You figure out what you want in life and in the afterlife, and then you make your own decisions. Who's responsible? That guy. Who informed his decision-making process? Or what informed it? The doctrines of Islam. Don't you be coming back here and demonizing Christianity for that. That is not Christianity. That's Islam. And you know, we're moving on to doing what's right now. There were people, co-workers and employers, who saw this man on a collision course with this type of event, with some sort of nastiness. His ex-wife, his co-workers, these people saw it coming. His wife, you know, clearly got out of the marriage, ex-wife, I should say. Her family came and got her away from him. His co-workers, some of them quit or were fired because their higher-ups didn't want to have to discipline somebody or get rid of somebody because their Islamic doctrine was informing their behavior. That's what it was. It was cowardice. It was cowardice to hold him to the same standards that they held everybody else to because he was a Muslim. A Muslim. He's a protected group. You know, he's protected, like LGBT people. You can't say anything against them because that's hateful. It doesn't matter if it's true. It's hateful. Hey, this guy's a nut, says his wife. He's going to act out. Oh, you just hate him because he's a Muslim. I think she was a Muslim too. It's not hate to tell the truth. The truth does not care about political correctness. And you know what? We are headed for a very dark place. a very dark place. Because what I have under doing what's right is hold the government accountable for creating an atmosphere wherein American citizens are afraid to do their duty as a citizen to say something when they see a member of a protected group about to behave badly, or behaving badly, in the case of men going into women's restrooms. Now the government wants to make us afraid to go to the management and say, hey, there's a guy in the ladies' room. Remove him. That's not about transgender. That's about personal safety, people. You want to know what happens when people do not do their duty because they're afraid of being called names? Because that's what it is. You're afraid of being called names. Oh, he's a racist. First of all, Islam is not a race. It's a religion. Anybody can choose to become a Muslim, just like anybody can choose to become a Christian. Why should you choose to become a Christian, in my opinion? Because it's the truth. Why should you choose to leave Islam, in my opinion? Because it is a fat lie. A lie designed to pull people into hell. And those are the only reasons to change your religious affiliation, because you're looking for the truth. And you want to know what happens when protected groups don't get reported? Oh, wait, people did report these things in Rotterdam. Parents were actually arrested and prosecuted for trying to protect their children from this gang of sex traffickers, Muslim sex traffickers in England. That's Rotterdam. That's what Rotterdam was. The police ignoring parents, arresting parents who wanted something done to protect their children. That's where we're headed. Oh, but it's all the fault of Christianity. You want to know what's going to happen what would happen in this world if all the Christians disappeared tomorrow? Or if there was no Christianity? You look at Rotterdam. You look at Orlando. That's what happens, because you have a bunch of selfish people doing whatever they like. Oh, we can be LGBT with freedom without those horrible, horrible Christians. Sure, you can do that right up until the Muslims come along and kill you for being homosexuals, because there's no tolerance for that in Islam. And guess what? Without Christianity to stop them, they will take over the world. Why? Because they are producing children. LGBT, guess what? You're a dead end. You're a dead end. That's what makes it so selfish. And you're a quick dead end because it's unhealthy. You don't win. The only place you can flourish is in a culture that will tolerate you, and that is a culture informed by Christian morals, values, and ethics. And yes, you would have to put up with people telling you that your behavioral choices are selfish and unhealthy. Ooh, you're offended. But you're alive. You're still able to do what you want with your own body. You take Christianity out of that, and the Muslims will be coming for you. How many times have I said on this show already that you want a Christian culture? You want the Christian morals, values, and ethics informing the base of your culture? Because that's what provides enough stability that culture can tolerate deviance. The more stability your culture provides, the more tolerance it has for deviance. Look up the dictionary definition of deviance if you're offended by the term. Islam cannot tolerate deviance. Neither can socialism. Socialism is so precariously perched on the idea that we're working for everybody's good. We're all heroes as long as we make everybody feel good about themselves. That's not a stable base for a society. And so they cannot tolerate deviance from their required norms. That is why socialism kills people. They kill dissidents because they are not stable enough to tolerate dissidents. Islam kills deviants because they are not stable enough to tolerate deviants. That's probably why Islam, why the followers of Islam have such big families too, because they're killing each other when they can't kill anybody else. Islam caters to the worst in people. Oh, somebody offended you? Honor killings, they're allowed. For a Christian, somebody offended you? Well, you know, sometimes that happens. We do not have the luxury to get rid of Christianity in this country, and we shouldn't. This country was made only for a moral and religious people and is unable. You know, it's, drat. One of my favorite quotes, and now I'm messing it up. And it is not suited for any other, because avarice or gallantry, and I'm just paraphrasing now, avarice, that's greed, gallantry, that means wanting to feel like a hero, to be a hero to somebody, would go through our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Did you ever hear that part of the quote? To get it, that gallantry is part of the problem? A moral and religious people. Why? Because that provides an outside standard of behavior. If you don't have an outside standard of behavior by which to judge the behavior of others, then you can't judge it objectively. You can only judge it subjectively, and that will not provide justice in a society. That will not provide safety, stability, protection, or justice. Excuse me. Because if it feels good, do it. That's not a legal thing. That's not how we formed our laws. That's not an objective measurement of action. In Rotterdam, 1,400 or more children were exploited into sex rings by Pakistani or Asian, which is British speak for Muslims. Because, we can't call them Muslims. We can't say it's part of Islam. Yes, it is. Islam condones the taking of slaves. Why aren't we seeing all those people who want reparations for slavery because the United States is the only country that's so horrible that had slavery? No, it's not. Every single nation, as far as I know, pretty much, slavery has been throughout history. And where are those people condoning ISIS for selling slaves? Taking people from their homes and making them into slaves and selling them. Why aren't we seeing protests against that? Oh, we can't do that. They're Muslims. That would make us bigoted as Islamophobes. They're taking slaves, people. They're calling for more attacks in the U.S. And the person occupying the office of the White House, the Oval Office of the White House, says it can't even bring himself to say Islamic terrorist attack. Can't bring himself to say it. Why not? Ask yourselves that. Why not? Think about it. He's appointed Muslims to many, many sensitive positions. He personally removed the study of Islamic terrorism from the curriculum for the people who are supposed to be protecting us. They're not allowed to say it. They're not allowed to study it. Why is that? Think about it. We are at war, and we've been at war for a very long time. And if you think that you can just say, oh, it's Christianity, Christianity's the problem, then maybe you need to examine your logic facilities. Maybe you need to start really getting hold of yourself and studying what the truth is, the objective truth, not the truth you want to see. Oh, and the government says, oh, it's all guns, guns, guns are the evil. We must get rid of the Second Amendment. Oh, yeah, there's a plan. This man held his firearms legally because people were too embarrassed or too afraid, too cowardly to call him on it, to fire him, to question him, even though he was under investigation for years. Oh, but we can't call him on his behavior. We're going to keep him as a security guard and make sure he keeps access to firearms. Ooh, there's a good plan. Because we're too embarrassed that we might be called racist or Islamophobic to do our duty as citizens. That's our duty. We, the people, are the basis of law enforcement. It is our job to inform law enforcement when something is wonky so that law enforcement can come and look at it and say, no, everything's okay, or, you know, we need to look into that more, or that guy needs to be arrested. That's our duty as citizens, because we are not only the baseline of law enforcement with cooperation. Cooperation with law enforcement is one of our citizenly duties. We are also the authority behind government. We grant them the authority. I heard a quote by Hillary Clinton saying, the government has a right about gun control. No, the government has no rights. What the government has are grants of authority from the people. And you will see all sorts of nonsense about people trying to twist the Federalist Papers and other people who have talked, and other founders who've talked about the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment. Oh, you've taken it out of context. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Remember, when they were writing it, it was the law that every household had to have a firearm and somebody trained in using it. How'd they get that passed? The British didn't like that. They said because the French might attack at any minute, so we all need to be armed and ready. That's the context of the writing of the Second Amendment. Coming out of a revolution in which we had overthrown a tyrannical government, and we had a culture in the country at that time where every household was required to have a firearm and somebody trained in using it. Of course, they didn't think it was necessary to say, oh, everybody has. We're talking specifically about private citizens owning arms. Although the right to bear arms does say that. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Why? Because the people, if the federal government is behaving badly, then the people could get behind their state governments. And you can't do that if the people aren't armed. If the state government does not have armed people to form militias to oppose the tyranny of a federal government, then what do you do with that? The culture assumes that private citizens are armed and will be armed. That's the context under which the Second Amendment was written. And I am going to read a few quotes by Tench Cox, both published in the, one's in the Pennsylvania Gazette, February 20th, 1788. That's the first one. Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Is it feared, then, that we shall turn our arms, each man, against his own bosom? Congress have no power to disarm the militia. the swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. Bear in mind, the puckle gun was in existence before this quote was made. Puckle gun is the first, like, machine gun type thing. So you can't say they weren't aware that there could be firearms that would fire many, many shots at once. And from the Philadelphia Federal Gazette, June 18, 1789, as civil rulers, not having their duty to the people before them, may attempt to tyrannize, and as the military forces which must be occasionally raised to defend our country might pervert their power to the injury of their fellow citizens, the people are confirmed by the article in their right to keep and bear their private arms. These are both by Tench Cox, remarks on the first part of the amendments to the federal constitution. That's a private right to bear arms. Do you want to know what the problem was in Orlando? The problem was that they were in a shooting gallery, a gun-free zone, because you can't have guns in Florida in any place that serves the public, among other things. Gun-free zone. So a man who was legally in possession of firearms, who worked as a security guard, probably not there, but he had all his paperwork and permits in order, could take his firearms, which were not, his firearm was not an AR-15, nor was it fully automatic, nor are AR-15s fully automatic. So all those saying that they are just blowing smoke. He was free to take his firearm and start shooting people and know that there was nobody else in there with a firearm who would shoot him back. And that's, on a national level, what the gun control lobby is preaching from this horrific tragedy, that America should become a gun-free zone so that invading armies need not fear being shot back at, right? That's the only reason for that, other than that the government wants the invading army to be one of our fellow citizens, our own military, to be turned against us. Right to bear arms is what holds up all the others. Christianity is what keeps people from taking those arms and killing anybody they feel like, logically. Oh, there are other schools of thought that wouldn't condone that either. Yeah, but when you follow them to their logical conclusions, it doesn't hold up. The truth is what counts. The culture wants to get rid of Christianity, and that's a very bad thing. Think about that. Think about what the world would really be like without Christians. Christians like the folks at Chick-fil-A, who are noted Christians, who've been excoriated for their Christian views, who opened their stores on Sunday in order to feed those who were donating blood to the victims of the Orlando shooting, because that's what Christians do. And with that, we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Get out there, find out where you can make a difference, and do it. Hopefully for good, because we have plenty of people out there trying to make a difference for bad. Thanks for joining me in the chat room, guest 788. Thanks for joining me in the archives, all who listen. Once again, happy 241st birthday to the Army and happy Flag Day. Have a great week.